go ahead.
I'm going to call this meeting of the Committee of the Whole together this evening. This is Finance, Policy, and Justice. We're going to take probably, because Mr. Weibel is not here, Policy last, because someone needs to be able to nominate the folks for various positions. I'm going to ask that the clerk call the roll to establish the existence of a quorum.
Ammons. Anderson.
Here.
Beckett.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Beck.
Here.
Carter. Cowart. Dennis.
Here.
Gladney. James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Knott.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Mosier.
Here.
Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Richards. Rosales.
Here.
Sapp. Schrader. Smucker.
Here.
Weibel. Weissaki.
Here.
I would ask that the clerk note that Ms. Ammons is here. We do have a quorum. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole for March 9, 2010.
So moved. Right.
Moved by Mr. Rosales, seconded by Mr. Smucker. Discussion. Fritz, excuse me. Any additions or corrections? Yes.
Page 19, line 836. She's got it there. James wanted to make the county board was aware. I think it should be James wanted to make the county board aware.
Noted.
Thank you.
Any other additions or corrections? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. We also need to approve the resolution of having the county board meet as a committee of the whole. Mr. Beckett, second by Ms. Weissaki. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. We have the approval of the agenda and the addenda, and I would ask that the committee grant the chair authority to do policy last, because we do have the chair of the board is the only one that's authorized by law, and he's not here yet. That being said, I would entertain a motion to approve. Seconded by Mr. Jay, seconded by Mr. James. Discussion. All those in favor signify. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to suggest perhaps moving the closed session under finance to the very end.
That'd be fine. Is that fine with the mover? I'm with the second.
Aye.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Public participation. I don't have any slips. Seeing none, we'll move on to communications. Any communications from board members? Ms. Weissaki?
I don't know if board members happened to have seen last Saturday's News Gazette, but the historic clock and bell tower is receiving one of PACA's heritage awards in terms of restoring a building to its original character. So I think this is kudos to the committee.
Thank you. Other communications from members? Mr. Gladney is not here this evening, so Jen Anderson, the vice chair, will be conducting justice and social services.
I guess I would first just comment that Matt did have surgery on Friday. I didn't talk to him directly, but I talked to his friend who answered the phone, and he is home. He's up and around, feeding. Still has some soreness, but he's recovering as expected. Our first item under Justice Social Services are the monthly reports. We have the animal control for January and February of 2010. the Emergency Management Agency for March of 2010, Head Start report for March of 2010, and Probation and Court Services of February of 2010. And I would entertain a motion to accept and place them on file.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Are there any comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Next is the Children's Advocacy Center asking for approval of a continued grant funding from the National Children's Alliance.
Approval.
Moved by Mr. Beckett. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Sammons. Would just note that this is, I'm sure you've read it, but a grant that has been received since 2004. It helps to partially pay the salaries, and there's no matching. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor of the approval, say aye.
Aye.
Those against, the same sign. Motion carries. And we'll move on to the Emergency Management Agency, seeking approval of the acceptance of 6 portable generators from the Illinois Emergency Management Association, and the explanation is on pages 24 to 28. Would entertain a motion for approval. Moved by Mr. James.
Seconded
by someone over here. Mr. James. Are there any questions? I guess my only comment would be these are being placed in several sites. I think it there may be other reasons, but Mr. Keller is very involved in the State Association and I think recognized there, and so these are generators that we could use locally but would also be available for emergencies around the state. With no other comments, I would, are those in favor? If you would indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Is there any other business the committee wants to bring forth? If not, I told you about that, and I don't have anything else to report. And the designation of the items for the consent agenda, I would assume that we will put both B and C on since that was unanimous. Okay. And Justice does not have anything else.
Thank you. Brendan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First item under public defender request for a waiver of the hiring freeze indicated on pages 90 to 93 of your handout. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second. By Steve. Seconded. Who did the second? I'm sorry.
Second.
Second by Al. Discussion. Seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number two is a budget transfer 1000001 for 22,005. Contract with the private attorney to cover George Vargas's caseload while on military duty. Detailed on page 94. Is there a motion for approval?
Move approval.
By Brad, seconded by Steve. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up is County Administrator's Report. Deb.
The first item on the Administrator's Report is the General Corporate Fund Fiscal 2010 Budget Projection Report. And it starts on page 95. The revenue projection, unfortunately, has dropped somewhat. We are doing fairly consistently well with the revenues in the top third of the page, but the state share revenues The sales taxes, the 1 cent sales tax has dropped so that it's projected now to come in at 86% of the total, which is fairly flat against what we actually ended up receiving last year. The quarter cent is keeping pace with the projection. I would point out to the salary reimbursements and the state income tax. Currently, the state income tax is a little difficult to read, but is projecting a $155,000 shortfall. But that anticipates that we will actually receive 10 months of revenue this year, and I'm not sure that we will. So that number could still get worse. Historically, we received 12 months of income tax. Last year, we received 9. So not knowing exactly where we're going to land on that, I would point that out because that number could change to the negative. The biggest deficit is in general government, which is where our fees revenues are, and right now it's falling short of the projection by $424,000. This is with the Harris & Harris monies being included and collected, and there is no explanation at this point in time why these revenues are actually at this point less than they were a year ago at this time. So we will have to watch that carefully. We'll be doing some follow-up with primarily the criminal justice system departments to see if there's anything we can do to improve that. The bottom line is right now it looks like the total revenue will have a shortfall of $972,500, basically. The next page is the expenditure projection report. We are doing fairly well in managing the personnel dollars, where it looks as though we will underspend those budgets by a couple percentage points. The commodities lines at this point are also doing fairly well, with the exception of purchase document stamps, but that's good because that means she's having more real estate transactions, which generates revenue, which offsets that expenditure. The gas service, electric service, we're close to what's budgeted. Right now it looks like we'll come in at spending 98% and 93% of those two lines, and that we are potentially under budgeted for medical and professional services. At the end of the day, that looks like we will underspend the actual budget by about 4%, savings of $246,049. When you look at the combination of the two, it would leave this fiscal year currently with an $823,000 shortfall of revenue to expenditure, which would drop our fund balance to right at $700,000, which is 2.2%, and clearly a significant problem that we will be dealing with in the next couple of months. Any questions about that? The next page is the budget change report. It's just provided for information to show what changes have been made to the budget so far this fiscal year. And the following pages after that are the report from Harris & Harris through March of what has been collected through those collections. And if you look on page 104, you'll see that year-to-date for the county, it has generated $108,829. The total collections are
$292,863. Other questions for Deb?
Yeah. Going back to the $400,000 shortfall that you're going to check into, do you have any inclination that it's less fines being collected, current fines, or are there less fees and fines being adjudicated, or what do you see? But why is there such a wide discrepancy between your budget?
I asked the circuit clerk today about the collections, and there was no explanation as to why fees at this point would be less. They're not aware of any indicator, which is why I'll check further into it. The state's attorney indicates that caseloads are moving just as they always have. It could be a function of the economy and that defendants simply can't afford to pay what they've been ordered to pay and aren't paying it.
Anything else for Deb?
Just one other question.
Sure.
Mid-course correction for $870,000. What's your thinking on that?
I would like to wait one more month and see if anything improves. The sales taxes were down this month, which reflected January by 5%. And indicators that I've seen show that really sales taxes should be improving from February and moving forward. So I guess I would really like to see if we see some improvement. Otherwise, I believe that in May and June, we're going to have to look critically at this budget and if there's anything else that we can amend to cut some spending out of this year. This report has not looked this bad prior to this month. Sometimes there will be an anomaly in one month that you just really can't identify exactly why it is. So we're on notice. If it looks this bad again next month, I think we would have to start thinking about identifying actions that can be taken.
Other questions? Is there a motion to accept and replace these three files by Brad and then seconded by Al? Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next item on the agenda is the elected official salaries recommendation, which is a memo that is at your desk this evening. This is something that needs to be done every 2 years. You are required to adopt the salaries for the elected officials to be elected in November for the four-year term that they will serve, or the two-year term in the case of the county board chair. And this has to be done by statute at least 180 days before the term of office begins. So you must take this action by your May board meeting. This information is being presented to you tonight. You don't necessarily have to act on it tonight, but you would need to act on it by next month. A little history. We, in matters of salary administration, Champaign County utilizes comparisons with the four similarly sized Illinois counties, Sangamon, Peoria, McLean, and Rock Island. And in the memo, you will see a comparison of the current salaries for all the elected officials in the five counties. On the following page, you will see where the Champaign County is in terms of comparison to the other four counties, and effectively, we are behind Peoria County, behind McLean County, behind Sangamon County, with all of the elected officials except the sheriff and the board chair, and we are really just about even, a little bit ahead of Rock Island County, with the county clerk and treasurer. We are the second largest of these five counties in terms of population. Sangamon County is the largest, and Champaign County is the second. But we are clearly fourth in terms of what we pay our elected officials. That's just some market history information. In terms of Champaign County history, over the last two terms of setting the elected official salaries, we have classified the six elected positions, excluding the sheriff and the board chair, into two groups of classifications. The first group includes the county clerk, treasurer, and circuit clerk, and the second group includes the auditor, coroner, and recorder. The positions in the first group are considered to be larger positions in terms of classification based upon the responsibilities assigned to those offices. As a result of that, the current plan places the compensation of the positions in the second group at 95.85% of the compensation for the positions of the first group. This is to keep some internal equity. It's just been within the last 2 years that we have managed to get all of these elected official salaries to a level where they maintain equity, where they have some comparable value to the market, and where they are consistently managed internally within the county. The long-term goal, once this was accomplished at the last term, was that we would continue to adopt annual 3-4% increases for these positions, so we would never have to adopt huge increases because we had allowed them to lag too far behind. But given the current financial difficulty which the county faces, it's difficult to recommend a 3-4% increase for elected officials whose salaries you must set for November of 2010. So I'm recommending a phased approach, which impacts the current setting of elected official salaries and will also provide some guidelines when setting salaries for the elected officials in November 2012, at which point we could bring the system of equity back into place. The recommendation is for a 1% increase for fiscal year 2011, 3% for fiscal 2012, 4% for 2013, and 3% for 2014. This would be followed, if I'm still here, with a recommendation in setting the salaries for November 2012 that they be set at 0% for 2013 for those four elected officials. And if you look at the chart on page 3, you will see that at that point, we bring the positions back into the same position of equity that they are in fiscal 2010. Basically, group 2 compared to group 1 is at 95.85% in 2010, and it's back there in 2013. By adopting a 1-3-4-3 raises for the ones you're setting in November 2010, the elected officials who've already had their salary set will receive 4% in 2011 and 4% in 2012, and the recommendation would be for 0% in 2013, which then brings them back into consistency with all of the other officials. We also are aware of what Peoria and McLean County will recommend to their county boards. They have not yet adopted it. But just to give you a snapshot of, based on the recommendations, how we would compare with Peoria and McLean County in 2014, which is the end of the term for which you're setting these salaries, Peoria is recommending 3.5% per year for its officials and bringing all of their officials, with the exception of the sheriff and board chair, to the same salary. McLean is recommending 4.5 and 4.5 and 0 and 0. So their elected official salaries would look like this. Effectively, if you look on the last page, you'll see that we still maintain some equity with those other counties in terms of market comparison. We fall a little further behind Peoria, and we get a little closer to McLean with the recommendation which you have before you.
Questions for Deb? Barbara?
I want to go back to the chart on the first page, and I noticed that in Rock Island County, there's a blank for circuit clerk, auditor, coroner, recorder. Do they not have those positions?
No, they did not provide it, and we were unable to get it.
But they do have?
They have the positions. Oh. We just were unable to get the information.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
I'd also point out that Rock Island has a full-time board chair, and the other four counties do not, so that's why there's such a discrepancy in the board chair's salary.
What else for Deb? Carol?
Just one quick question. This is set, is it set every 4 years?
Yes.
It is set every 4 years. Okay. So it's not, we don't have to adopt this year.
Yes, you do.
We have to adopt it.
You have to adopt it by your May board meeting.
Okay.
It has to be done at least 180 days before the term of office begins.
Anything else for Deb? Or is there a motion for approval of her recommendation by Steve O'Connor? Is there a second? By Ralph. Discussion. Carol?
We just got this tonight, so I think it's a little premature to, at this point, adopt a change in salary based on us not even knowing at all where we're going with any of our financial situation in the county, which is what she just gave us on the previous charts. And so I couldn't support the recommendation at this point, but we'll ask for a little more time to look into it.
This is Steve Beckett, then Al.
Move to defer to May.
Second. There's a motion by Steve to defer to May, seconded by Stan. Is there discussion on that?
We have to suspend the rules to do that. I move we suspend the rules.
Motion by Steve to suspend the rules, seconded by Barbara. The motion to suspend the rules, is there discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. The rules have been suspended to accept the motion by Steve and seconded by, I'm sorry, Stan, to defer till next month this issue. Discussion on that. Stan.
I'm going to
agree with Carol.
I ask a question on the chair.
Hold on. Stand first on this. We're talking about the motion to defer, which is on the table at this time. Stand. Motion to defer.
Well, I was just going to say that I was going to concur with Carol that we were just handed this, and I would appreciate the time to look at it and then possibly have some questions, because that's a lot of information to try and soak in and crunch all them numbers in my head tonight.
Related to, I assume, not this motion, but...
The question is, if we vote on this motion now and it fails, what is then the alternative? What happens then?
You have to set these salaries by your May board meeting. I will tell you, this is a lot of information, and I did not expect you to vote on it tonight. I like to present it with an explanation, which is why I didn't go out with the board packet, because I think it's helpful to receive an explanation. But you have until your May meeting to do this. You must do it. You must adopt salaries at your May meeting for these elected officials.
We don't adopt salaries, but we don't have to adopt increases.
This is my recommendation. You adopt the salaries that you decide you want to adopt.
Okay.
Related to the motion on the floor, motion to defer. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is a recommendation for the final distribution of nursing home construction fund monies. We know now that we have received all final bills that have to be paid from this fund for either construction or arbitration or litigation costs, and would like to at this time transfer the balance to be placed in the general corporate fund balance.
Motion by Stan, seconded by Barbara. Discussion. Stan.
So this is, Deb, at one time we were having discussions about any excess, if there was any excess after all the bills, that we would move it over to a capitalization program for the buildings and start working on a fund there, but apparently we're not going to do that with this. We're going to just put it back in corporate.
I don't believe we ever identified that we would do that with the proceeds from the litigation from the nursing home. I believe we always anticipated that those proceeds would go back to replenish the general corporate fund for what it has spent. Yes, we talked about any new revenues or one-time revenues would go towards capital expenditures, but I don't think that that was stated for the proceeds from this litigation, which is what this effectively is.
May I defer to Sam? You were on that committee when we were discussing this. What do you recall, or am I off base on that?
Use your mic. Thanks.
I mean, I remember that discussion, but I don't remember what money was. I remember that we had talked about some money being set aside, but I can't remember what fund it was going to, or what, you know, source it was going to come from. It seemed like it was one of the litigations, but...
Steve?
I thought if we got $8 million, we were going to do that.
We got 7.7.
The plaintiff's lawyer was right. We got $8 million. We were going to have a party. Remember, you and I talked about it.
Yes, sir.
It was going to be at your place.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Other discussion on this item?
If I could, I just know that when we thought this was going to be $1.5 million, and the treasurer may have some recollection of this as well, that our thought was that there was a grant made to the nursing home that was forgiven loans in the amount of $1.5 million, and that we would have recommended that the proceeds from the litigation be used to offset that grant. I don't believe that I, in my documents to you, have ever referred to the proceeds from the litigation as going towards anything other than repaying General Corporate for what it has lost.
Made it clear that, like Sam said, I mean, there was some discussion, and like Mr. Beckett said, I think that if there would have been a nicer settlement, we were looking at that goal, and that's where my question came in. Maybe I didn't quite phrase it right. I got to go back to attorney school.
Lorraine?
Deb, my question I was going to ask was, is it going to be used to help...
I'm sorry, I didn't...
You answered my question.
Oh, okay.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up is a budget amendment 100042 for $6,500 to appropriate expenditure authority to allow the transfer of all remaining funds to the general corporate fund. Is there a motion for approval? By Carol, seconded by Ron. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up is Treasurer's Report. Dan.
Thank you. Well, my monthly report's in the agenda tonight. I just want to make two brief comments. One about real estate tax bills. We're going to be mailing real estate tax bills April 30. It's going to be the eighth year in a row that we've been on time statutorily. One of out of 102 counties, Champaign County is probably one of 6 to 8 counties in the state who traditionally can get tax bills out on time. Obviously, there's two big advantages to that. One is the taxing districts, ourselves included. We'll start getting money from those proceeds starting in May. And the taxpayers themselves get the full 3-month increment between June 1 and September 1 to pay their bills. So a little fun fact about real estate, since it's kind of what I do for a living. In the 37 years I've been here, we've collected over $4 billion in taxes. In the 11 years so far that I've been collecting taxes as treasurer, we've collected over $2 billion just in the last 11 years. So it's an enormous amount of money. On to General Corp's cash flow. I gave you a report last month that kind of showed you how I track it. It's basically stayed pretty much the same. We're on track to end this month with about a $750,000 cash balance. And then once we get into May, we'll start getting some real estate money to the tune of about $1.7 million. So once we get to May and we start getting real estate money in, we should be okay through the end of the year. Now, that doesn't mean we're doing great by any means. We so far have borrowed $2.1 million in our cash fund today. Cash balance today was $114,000. And remember, the $1.5 million is what it takes for each month for us to cover payroll. So, unless there's any questions about my report, I'd ask that it be accepted and placed on file, please.
Okay. Motion by Brad, seconded by Barbara. Questions for Dan? Okay, onward. Oh, I'm sorry. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Dan.
I have two last things. There are resolutions that are on page 120 and 121. Those of you who have been in finance have seen this frequently, but for those who have not, let me explain what's happening. We have tax sales, both for real estate homes and for mobile homes. They're done at the same time, but they're treated a little bit differently. Much the same, but for a little bit different. In the case of mobile homes, what we're talking about here on both these certificates, resolutions, I should say, are that they went to a tax sale. No tax buyer purchased them at the tax sale. That doesn't mean ownership, but no one bid on them to be able to include them with themselves for tax certification. After the redemption period is ended, 2.5 years, then the county, in effect, takes deed to it, and then we have an auction. And the highest bid at that time, above the minimum bid, it gets the residence itself. So what we're doing here is, in both resolutions, is we're getting it out of the county's name, getting it into somebody's hands that are going to start paying taxes on an annual basis. So that's what both of these resolutions are meant to do. And I'd ask that they both be accepted, please.
Motion by Stan, seconded by Geraldo. Discussion on those items. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Next up, the auditor's report. Tony.
Good evening. You all have your purchases not following the purchasing policy report on your desks, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about that. I apologize for the small font tonight. We tried to save paper. If there are no questions, this is provided just for informational purposes tonight. I also have the auditor's report, which is in your packets, and I would appreciate a motion to accept and place that on file.
A motion by Steve, seconded by Al. Any questions for Tony on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. No other business that I'm aware of, no chairs report. Items for the consent are A, 1 and 2, B, 5 and 6, C, 2 and 3. We're going to wait for the closed session until later, so that should be all for now from finance.
And I am going to go to policy. There are some items I think that we can cover. And I guess I'm going to begin on the easiest items, and that would be from your addendum. We have two issues, a resolution for proclaiming the designation of the week of May 9th as National Police Week. I would entertain a motion to approve. Moved by Carol, seconded by Jen Anderson. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. We have another resolution approving the proclamation designation of the week of May 2nd as National Correctional Officer Week.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James, seconded by Mr. Zustan, Mr. Smucker. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. We're going to go to some other items that I think we can do within the time frame that we have. Within your main agenda, item C, the County Clerk Monthly Fees Report, we would need a motion to receive and place on file. Moved by Ms. Ammons, seconded by Mr. McGinty. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Approval of voter registration state grant acceptance agreement. Moved by Lorraine Cohort, seconded by Carol Emmons. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Let's see. Which ones do you think we have to pay for? Well, this was Mr. Weibel's thing that he was really cared about. If people want to, I'll be happy to do it. Okay, and the resolution opposing Senate Bill 3474, amending Illinois Finance Authority Act. Is there a motion? Moved by Wysocki, seconded by Mr. Kurtz. Discussion. All those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Nowhere to. Right here, resolution amending flexible benefits plan. Okay. We're at Part B, Administrator's Report, number one. Okay.
I would ask for a motion to approve the resolution amending Champaign County's flexible benefits plan. This is basically posting the changes to our plans that are required by recent legislation.
So moved.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries.
The job count last month, this committee authorized the job content evaluation committee to review the account clerk position in the treasurer's office at the treasurer's request. We did meet and review that position and at this time recommend no change to the classification, so that information is simply provided to you. There is no action required. The third item is the Job Content Evaluation Committee report on the non-bargaining positions review project, and that is provided to you at your desk this evening. There is a lot of information in this report, and similar to the elected official salaries recommendation, I do not expect you to vote on this tonight. Wanted the opportunity to present this report to you directly and have you ask questions, and then take it with you. And if you have questions between now and next month, please contact me so that we can work towards answering any and all of your questions when you're asked to consider it in May. Basically, the issue is, in the fall of 2008, the Policy, Personnel, and Appointments Committee authorized the Job Content Evaluation Committee to initiate a project to review all of the county's non-bargaining positions for the purposes of a comprehensive recommendation for classification, description, and compensation of those positions. The last time this had been done comprehensively was in 1999, and so it was 10 years since it had first been done and determined that it would be a worthwhile exercise to make sure that everything still was consistent and lined up the way that it should. The majority of the work was completed by the Job Content Evaluation Committee in 2009. However, it was not completed until late in the year, and by August or September, it was not a good time, given the county's financial situation, to present or report to you with regard to the outcome of this project. And it was determined at that time that we would put it on hold until spring 2010. We have recently reviewed and updated the information in the report, and I'm presenting it to you at this time. For many of you who have not been involved in the process of position evaluation, classification, and determination of compensation in Champaign County, I would just like to give you a brief description of what we do and how it works. The process is, step one, each incumbent employee of the affected position completes a position analysis questionnaire. The questionnaire is reviewed by that employee's department head or supervisor and amended if the department head or supervisor deems it necessary. If it is amended, those changes are shared with the employee. The questionnaire is then submitted to the Job Content Evaluation Committee. Step two, the department head meets with the committee to review the questionnaire and discuss the operations of their office with the committee and the specific responsibilities and expectations of the affected position. Step three, after meeting with the department head or supervisor, the committee further reviews the questionnaire for the position and determines the appropriate weight to be given to each of the answers in the questionnaire, taking into consideration information provided by the incumbent who completed the questionnaire, information presented by the department head or supervisor, and the information relating to how all other positions throughout the organization are evaluated. The questionnaire analyzes the following criteria for each position: knowledge and skill. This measures the education and training requirements, experience requirements, and analytical requirements, and these points represent 40% of the total. Responsibility. This measures contact of the position with others, the impact if errors or quality of work are diminished in this position, the level of confidential data handled, the type of supervision received, the type of supervision managed, the requirements for decision-making and the impact of those decisions, and the responsibility for the managing of the operating budget and spending authority. This section represents 50% of the total points. Working conditions are also measured, which measures the type of environment in which the position operates, and that represents 5% of the total points. And physical effort. This measures the physical activity requirements of the position, represents 5% of the total points. Step four is the completion of a market comparison with the county's four comparison counties to determine if benchmark positions in each grade range or salary classification test the dollar value which we have assigned to those grade ranges. The classifications determined by the committee in steps one through three are verified and tested with the market comparison information and re-reviewed if there are serious discrepancies. Step five, we develop job descriptions or update job descriptions to reflect any changes that have been made. And step six is to report to the Policy, Personnel, and Appointments Committee for approval of the classification of positions, and upon approval by policy, forward to the Finance Committee approval of the salary schedule that goes with the classification. The classification of positions and salary schedule is then ultimately approved by the County Board. The 2010 report. The committee completed the review of 75 different positions, which cover a total of 88 employees in the general corporate area. This does not include the assistants and senior assistant attorney positions or the command staff positions at the sheriff's office, which will receive separate consideration in this report. Attachment A of the report, which is on page 7, is the listing of classifications under the old evaluation system and the listing of classifications under the new evaluation. The new evaluations result in changes to 24 positions. 14 positions receive an upgrade, which are highlighted in yellow. 10 positions receive a downgrade, which are highlighted in green. And there are also 4 title changes recommended, which are highlighted in blue. Attachment B on page 10 is the salary schedule, and it reflects the classifications of positions as outlined in the new evaluations on Attachment A, with the salary ranges attached to each classification of positions. These salaries are the 2010 salaries, which are the same minimum, midpoint, and maximum for each salary grade that we had in 2009. They were frozen for fiscal 2010. Attachment C is the market survey of the benchmark positions, and that's the legal size document, which is page 12. This document will give you the minimum and maximum salary range for at least one position from each grade that we have in our classification system to see how we compare with our comparable counties. The goal typically is that our salaries are in the range between 90 and 115% of our comparable counties. And if you look at the grid on the bottom half of that page, you will see that with this recommendation before you, we have effectively achieved that. The financial impact of the implementation of this recommendation. We can't really do this without getting into the fiscal year 2011 non-bargaining salary administration recommendation, so that's what this financial impact report eventually becomes. We are recommending that for fiscal year 2011, there be a market adjustment for the non-bargaining positions of 1% to the salary scale. This would have a total cost for the non-bargaining employees of $44,723. Additionally, the personnel policy calls for movement through the salary ranges through a compa ratio adjustment between 0 and 7 years in a position, moving to the position's midpoint at year 7. We are recommending that the compa ratio adjustments for all of these positions be implemented in fiscal year 2011, with the exception that any compa ratio adjustment that would exceed 10% would be limited to 10%. So no employee would receive more than a 10% increase if they were eligible for a compa ratio adjustment. A total of 28 positions would receive additional salary adjustment above the 1% due to this movement. The total cost of the compa ratio movement is $64,703, or 1.45% for this total group of employees. Additionally, as a result of the reclassifications, there are three incumbents whose salaries are above the fiscal year 2011 maximum for their classification, and pursuant to Article 9-2.2 of the personnel policy, the salaries of those three individuals would be frozen until the salary range maximum meets or exceeds their current salary. The fiscal year 2011 recommended salary schedule documenting the recommended market adjustment of 1% and the implementation of the new evaluation structure is in Attachment D, which is on page 13. There is a separate recommendation for attorneys who are employed by Champaign County. In steps 1 and 2 of the process, both the state's attorney and public defender shared with the committee their frustration and difficulty in limiting job responsibilities for attorneys to a job description for an assistant state's attorney and a job description for a senior assistant state's attorney. And they both indicated a desire to be able to assign to any attorney responsibilities that any attorney should be able to complete because of the fact that they are attorneys. We understood the frustration and the difficulty that they face when they have only slotted 4 assistant state's attorney positions and they have the need to assign what is currently defined as a senior assistant responsibility to one of those attorney positions and effectively are limited from doing that because of the job descriptions. Actually, I think their employees do it for them anyway, but they would like to eliminate the problem that is represented with that limitation. So what we are recommending for the attorneys is a salary range that spans 2 salary ranges. It starts at the minimum for the current assistant state's attorney salary range, and the maximum is equal to the current maximum for the senior assistant state's attorney. And it is outlined on page 15. So the salary range has a broader scope than the rest of our salary ranges, which from minimum to maximum are typically 150%, the minimum to maximum for this range would be 172%. Additionally, we would recommend that an attorney who has been licensed to practice law for 10 years would be at the midpoint rather than using the 7-year standard that we use for all other non-bargaining positions. So if the board were to adopt this separate grade for attorneys, on pages 15 and 16, you will see the subsequent recommendations to amend the personnel policy that we would recommend to account for this separate delineation for attorney salaries. And finally, the sheriff's command, oh, I think I had some stats on the cost of that. That's the report. To implement this for the attorneys, financial impact of all attorneys would receive the 1% because we would adjust the range by 1% as well. And then the total cost of the compa ratio movement for the attorneys is $28,538, or an increase of 1.6% for this group of employees. Finally, the sheriff's command staff positions have been treated differently from the rest of the non-bargaining positions since 2001 at the direction then of the Finance Committee, and we have carried it forward over time, and I thought it was a good idea to report it to you at this point with this project report as well. Those positions do not show up on the list of category of positions because they're command staff. Effectively, the sheriff at that time indicated, and the current sheriff supports the fact that there has to be an incentive for an individual to go from being a sergeant, where they're paid overtime for all hours worked, to accepting additional responsibility as a lieutenant, where they're exempt under FLSA and may work 50 hours but still only receive their regular salary. So we have always paid the lieutenants at 11% above the sergeants. We have paid the captains at 11% above the lieutenants. And when the chief deputy position was created, it was designated at 5% above the captain. The only caveat is if the sergeant salaries do not increase at all and there is a non-bargaining salary increase to the range, that base would be applied and then the same movement moving forward. So that is a continuing recommendation for the command staff at the sheriff's office. In fiscal 2011, it would have an anticipated cost of $4,036, or a 1.67% increase. So the actions that would need to be taken by the board, and again, certainly taking these actions in May is fine. The personnel policy calls for the non-bargaining salary administration plan to be adopted in May before we adopt the budget process resolution, which will also be done in May. The action recommended for the policy committee is approval of the recommendation for the new evaluations for the county's non-bargaining employees as documented in Attachment A. The recommended action to the finance committee would be to approve the same classifications and the salary schedule that goes along with those classifications. And then finally, there would be a recommendation for the finance committee to forward to the county board the fiscal year 2011 non-bargaining salary administration recommendation, and that is on page 5 of your document.
Discussion.
Sorry, I have two questions real quick, and probably my ignorance of being new here. I see 1950 hours and also 2080, which is the normal. Are there some people that just work the 1950 versus
most
the 2080?
Most county employees only work a 37.5-hour work week, so that's 1950 hours.
Okay.
But the 24/7 operations, the sheriff's office, the nursing home, the animal control, many of those are based on 28 hours.
And the 37.5, that's what that hourly is based on, is the 37.5. So that's why it says 1950.
It's the same hourly rate. The annual is based on whether they work 1950 or 2080.
And then my second question is about the committee here. How is that? It looks to me like they're kind of the heads of the department. Is that how that comes about?
The committee is determined by the personnel policy. The goal in the membership of the committee is to ensure that there is a management position from every
area.
area of county government so that there's some familiarity with any position that's being evaluated by at least one of the individuals who serves on the committee. It's usually a goal that it also not be an elected official, so it's, you know, not usually an elected official. The goal is for basically management, middle management positions to serve on that committee.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Other questions, Carol?
Do you have a total impact of these changes that would affect 2011's budget?
Yes, it's on page 6. In summary, the total of salaries for all positions covered with this report is $6,873,150, and the total recommended increase for fiscal year 2011 is $166,094, which is equal to a total of 2.42%.
Steve?
So that's the 1% plus the other adjustment.
The adjustments, right.
And as long as nobody doesn't make a motion, we don't have to worry about this. It'll just be brought, put on the agenda for next month, right?
Right.
Okay. Other questions from committee members? I think, yes.
The 1% adjustment is not just a regular yearly increase raise. This is an adjustment to the scale, right?
It's an adjustment to the scale, and every employee would receive that 1% as a COLA adjustment.
Okay. That's an However, the, any other.
But the people who are receiving comp ratio movement don't receive the 1% in addition to the movement. They just go to the appropriate level in the scale.
But this would be in addition to any other wage increases that would be given to non-bargaining unit employees.
There would be no other wage increases. This is it.
Okay. I just wanted to check. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Other questions? Mr.
Noodle,
I can't see.
Are non-bargaining employees involved in a STEP program?
Well, the personnel policy calls for the comp ratio adjustments, and what that ensures is that when an employee is hired into a position, if they're hired at the minimum and they stay in that position at 7 years, if the comp ratio is fully funded, by the time they reach 7 years, they're paid at the midpoint, which is considered to be the market value for that job, which you would expect to pay for someone who's fully competent in that position. And the personnel policy calls for that because over 10 years ago, what happened historically was existing employees received the COLA, the range was adjusted by the COLA, and someone who had been employed here for 5 or 6 years would be just making pennies more than a brand new hire. So that's why we have that in our personnel policy.
So it's a 7-year step?
7-year to reach the midpoint. It's not guaranteed to be funded every year. As a matter of fact, I think the last time it was funded was probably 2008. Certainly, this group of employees took a wage freeze entirely this year. They did not receive any kind of compensation increase in fiscal 2010.
Barbara?
Just going back to Al's previous question. So for the individuals who are in this green shaded area,
mm-hmm.
whose ranking is going to drop,
their classification is lower than it was previously.
So for next year, they're not going to get any increase.
They get 1%.
The 1%, and
yes.
That's it.
Right. But there are a number of employees who will only receive 1% because they are already at the market value of the position for the salary range that they're in. As a matter of fact, a majority.
Okay. That, Carol, I'm going to have to cut you off because we have stated that we were going to declare a public hearing at 7 o'clock, and I think it's 7 o'clock, but we can come back to your question. Just remind me when we're done with the public hearing, and I'll call on you. You're the first one up. Okay. If folks want to speak this evening, please feel free to fill out one of the forms. If you want to speak with the
Did you close it?
I did. Can I ask you to draft more things, and then at the next meeting we can propose to where we're going to go.
Okay, so it's going to be on the agenda for the
It will be on the agenda.
All right.
It's never going to get off the agenda.
Carol, I promised you could be the first person to address the committee on that question you had before we recessed. Okay, go.
Some things come first.
Okay, Mr. Weibel, while you were enjoying the great state of Missouri, we did all of policy but the appointments, and we have the appointments 1 through... Well, all the way. You could say who you wanted to appoint, and then we could have an omnibus motion, or we can go one by one.
Well, I'd do an omnibus motion for the district where there's only one candidate, and that would be Lacey Taylor for Broad Lands, Longview Fire Protection District. Actually, these are all fire protection districts. Patricia Chancellor for Eastern Prairie, Mike McCaffrey for Ed Scott, Jeff Webb for Ivedale, Richard Anderson for Ludlow, Rusty Smith for Ogden Royal, Dennis Butler for Posadum, Clifford Gorman for Philo, Frederick Seabold for Sedaris, Norman Paul for St. Joseph Stanton, Roger Head for Kelowna, William Walker for Windsor Park, and all these are from the terms from May 1st, 2010 to April 30th, 2013.
And that was the second by Mr. Becker to the omnibus motion. Discussion. Ms. Wysocki.
I wanted to ask a question about the appointee to the Ludlow Fire Protection District. In reading his application, the gentleman does not live in Champaign County. Is that a requirement?
No.
Paxton is Ford County.
There's four or five rural fire districts part of the cross county lines. They just have to be a member of the district.
Yeah, do they need the map now?
Is that...
No. Seriously.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, since this is just preliminary, I will check into that by the final board meeting. I'll ask that we keep that one off the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I could. Ludlow's the fire protection district that probably does go into more than just Champaign County. Criteria is you have to be within the fire district.
Mm-hmm. Any other concerns? All those in favor of the omnibus motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Mr. Chairman, we need to go to the Sangamon Valley Fire Protection District.
For Sangamon Valley Fire Protection District, I select Roger Ponton, Jr.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Stan James. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Thomas Thurrow.
For Thomas Thurrow, Fire Protection District, I select two people. One is a term of May 1st, 2010 to April 30th, 2013, and one for a further term that would be from May 1st, 2010 to April 30th, 2012. I will pick for the full term Mr. Mervyn Meyer, and for the partial term Mr. Michael Tittle.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Stan James.
I'm going to abstain because I've represented each of them.
Okay. Discussion. Yes.
I don't know if I'm out of motion or whatever here, but I wonder why he picked those two. My choice would have been Robert Moff and Dave Walken.
The chair has this.
Oh, he's. I'm sorry.
If he chooses, he can explain. Go ahead.
No, actually, I thought all five were qualified. Mr. Myers was a firefighter for 22 years, I think. He's been actively involved in fundraisers and things like that for the fire department and is very familiar with the district. Mr. Tittle is actually a retired policeman. However, he's been named the leader for the fire protection district for a number of years. He's also very familiar with the district, and I think they both fit in well.
Further discussion. Mr. O'Connor.
Mr. Chairman, I was only curious why the folks from Thomasboro have the form that lists political affiliation.
They probably have the wrong form. Political affiliation is not important, and I basically ignore it.
I just noticed that was a peculiarity of all the Thomasboro applications.
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same?
No.
Aye. Motion carries. Mr. Beckett abstains. I think that's it. Now, Ms. Amos.
I had to find my question. I just want to go back where we were when we took our break. In our revenue report, we have a proposed shortfall of money to the $972,000 plus. And if we accept the change in non-bargaining unit employees, meaning shifting those salaries up, how is that going to impact this shortfall? And even if we voted for it, and we can't guarantee funding for those changes, what do we do at that point?
Well, if the revenue shortfalls prove true over the next 60 days, you are going to be implementing cuts to the budget in order to survive. And with the state revenues and with what's going on with our own fees revenues and not knowing what impact there may be with sales tax revenues that increase, that is an issue that we definitely will have to deal with. With that said, the non-bargaining employees are effectively the only employees of Champaign County who have taken a wage freeze for a year in fiscal year 2010, and you have authorized authority for wage increases for all of the bargaining employees, and this recommendation of authority for increase closely matches authority you've given for those negotiations. So to separate out and isolate this group of employees and freeze their wages yet again while other county employees are receiving increases would not be my recommendation. It may be your determination, but it would not be my recommendation. Yes, if the revenues don't improve, we could be looking at additional elimination of positions or cutbacks in other ways. But I also don't know that you can ask year after year that employees take wage freezes. So that's kind of where we are today, and that's why you have at least 30 days to look at this and analyze it. And if you have different recommendations, that's something that would need to be reviewed.
This proposal is for 2011.
That's right.
Okay. Follow up real brief. I understand that of course we're being asked to make a recommendation or actual determination at some point. What I'm really trying to figure out is, are we looking at, and I think we are, will we have for next month, because I know this will be back next month, will we have the number projections that we talked about earlier in our conversation so that we can look at what our 2011 looks like and see if we can realistically do the 1%, less known the increase over and above the 1%. And that's basically what I'm asking for at this point.
You will have at the Finance Committee next month a budget process resolution which establishes the guidelines for the General Corporate Fund budget preparation for fiscal year 2011.
Anything further? Okay. The items to be, everything is on consent except the appointment in number 5 and number 12. I think that's the one where Mr. Beckett had abstained.
There were no votes.
I understand, but I want to make sure. Okay. Is that correct? Okay.
Mr. Chair, we still have a...
I know.
Okay.
There's nothing else for action by the policy. We next have the closed session. Mr. McGinty. Oh, who has the motion? Oh, okay.
I move that we enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120-2C2 to consider collective negotiating matters between Champaign County and its employees and their representatives. I further move that the following individuals remain present: county legal counsel, county administrator, county elected officials, HR generalist, recording secretary.
Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Ammons. Call the roll.
Ammons.
Clemens.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Beckett.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Carter. Coert. Dennis. Gladney. James.
No.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
Yes.
Mosier.
Yes.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
No.
Mr. Jay, would you open the door so we can get their open session? Mr. Knapp, can you open the door so we can get their open session?
Okay, well, we'll make sure. I don't want to have that information.
Okay, we're back in open session. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye. All in favor?
Yes.
Oh.